27th of November, 2014. This date has been on my mind for, well, the last week. It's been a week to the day since my grandmother died, and I've not really done, you know, my normal splurge of chit-chat and whatever it is I do in the online spaces and places. I just haven't felt like talking to that many people or sharing that much stuff, and it felt a little bit forced when I was working. I cancelled a big chunk of work, which is something I never do, but I had to be by my grandmother's bedside when she died. I don't think I could have lived with myself. And especially if I'd chosen... work over being with one of the most important people in my life in their time of need, even though she insisted that, you know, I not neglect family, I keep on keeping on, you know, I must carry on working, otherwise I'm not going to be able to pay the mortgage, which in many ways is true. And so she, you know, kind of insisted on a couple of occasions that I go and do what I've got to do, but things got pretty bad pretty quickly, so I just ditched everything and sat by her bedside. And on the actual day of her death, which was like 4 days into her having not had any liquid pass her lips, it was it's kind of inevitable what was coming, but you never knew the exact moment. And I'd left her bedside very shortly, having been communicating with her, and she was nodding or squeezing my hand, and I said to her, do you want me to go? I can give you a bit of space. I can go and get some food and come back. And she agreed to that, and then I was gone for a short while, and when I came back, she breathed her last breath, and I kind of held her hand until it was cold. And because I'd spent so much time talking about death with her and getting it into my head that it was going to happen anytime soon, there was a lot of tears. There was a lot of crying. There was a lot of tears, and for myself and my brother and whoever else was coming into contact with her. But it was a lot easier than I'd feared, because it's what she wanted. It was her 90th birthday. It's not unusual, as unusual as you think, to die on your birthday. And she said she'd had more than a fair share, and she just kind of wanted to be with her daughter, because she just believed in a heaven and an afterlife and the likes. And I think that's why there was no fear. There was no dread. She had no regret or anything in our conversations, and it was a good death. Sounds a strange thing to say, but it was definitely a good death. And it'd come quick. I've got photos of her smiling in her chair in the care home that she'd only been in for a few months. And it was that care home that I believe gave her that little kind of boost to her health and her mental stability, as vascular dementia was slowly taking her, and she looked around and thought, okay, this is home now. This is good. That she said they're good to me. It was one of her last tweets, was they're good to me here. And then she decided to take things into her own hands and effectively initially slow down her eating and then stop altogether. And she seemed absolutely adamant. She said that when things get bad, I don't want to go to hospital because they'll put pipes into me to feed me that way. And it's cruel. I had to agree with her. And so I guess a death on your terms is the finest death you can wish for. And so today, after a weird week of limbo, I definitely felt some kind of relief and closure for the family who'd been kind of waiting for this moment. And she was, just make it simple, I just want to be buried next to my daughter. And I was joking all the time about how many horses do you want, and do you want them to be white or black? And she's like, what are you talking about, horses? I'm like, to bring the coffin, how many horses? And she knew I was joking. She was just saying, don't be silly. She says, you make a fuss and I'll come back and haunt you. So we went with the green burial that she wanted, the same as my grandfather had. He kind of started this when he saw the option. Didn't like the idea of being cremated and liked the idea of having a tree buried on his body. My mother had the same. Less time to discuss with her. And now my grandmother lies with them both. And she was brought to the grave site in an electric vehicle. Not the electric vehicles you're used to seeing on the... Oh, you probably are used to seeing them on the road, because I think there was a 1960s milk float that had been modified with willow and vines, and it looked like some kind of, I don't know, Wiccan chariot or something. Very eco. And Nick, the guy that owns the Green Burial Ground, he's this long-haired eco-farmer with his... He had a kind of a weird long jacket on. Just looks awesome, like someone out of the Middle Ages in a way. I don't think he intended to. And the canon, who had kindly come along after, you know, a couple of priests are like, oh, I don't know about that. It's, you know, we need consecrated ground and all the rest of it. And so this guy comes along to give a service, and I couldn't help but think he looked like Count Dracula coming out of retirement, in a way, in a nice way, a very friendly Count Dracula. And I did call him Count Randall by accident for a moment. And he was great. I sent him a link to a blog post I wrote about my gran, and I linked him to an audio interview she did on the radio. And I don't think he'd ever had so much information about somebody had to talk about, and it's normally terrible, isn't it? It's like, oh, we're here to talk about the wonderful so-and-so, and none of it's right or correct or true. And yeah, he did this kind of beautiful eulogy, and dead simple, and everybody was nodding and a couple of smiles. And the way that he explained her main passions in life, which were quite simply cooking and gardening, and the fact that, you know, the inside and the outside of the home, this place where she took it upon herself to care, anybody who crossed her threshold or came into contact with her, you know, this was the main focus. And it's so true, it's so right. And for someone who never knew her to say these things, I was really moved and touched. Not so much as when I actually gave a reading, and we hadn't organised any of this, there was no rehearsal. I'd met him a few minutes before. Myself and three other relatives went and picked up... We went and picked the coffin off the customised milk float. It's a weird sentence. This beautiful, rounded-edged wicker, basket-style coffin. And the four of us, quite heavier than I thought, very, very well-made coffin, because my grandmother wasn't that heavy when she went. And we carried it down towards the graveside. And it was... And then he started talking, and my friend Andrew played a beautiful violin piece just beforehand, and after he'd said some words, and I just basically unfolded this piece of paper, and I don't know how old the guy is, 85 maybe? And he looked over and he kind of nodded as if to say, I see you've got some words there, now's a good time to read them. And then I just stepped forward and read and cried and read. My brother came along to offer some support. And and stood by me crying harder than me. I'm laughing now. And I did at the time. I said, stop it, man. It's bad enough me trying to get through this. But I did. And then we grabbed some pink carnations, a favourite flower. And because it's a green burial site, you don't have embalming and you don't have, you know, varnished things, and you don't have cellophane flowers, that's for sure, because it's going to become a woodland and you're guaranteed to lie there for over 100 years, longer than anybody in a graveyard. And so we threw these bare flowers into the grave, said our final goodbyes. And just having lowered my grandmother into the grave, so incredibly cathartic. I'm really not one for pomp and ceremony normally, but you are putting a body in the ground. You are putting an unembalmed body, which is in a basket, in the ground, knowing that the moment that's filled in and the next rain, everything is sodden and wet and begins its very fast decomposition and fertilising of the ground around it. And the tree you choose to go upon the grave grows from that. Right next to my grandmother's grave was my mother's grave, and it had these stunning and beautiful weird flowers coming out. And I think somebody told me they were ornamental cabbage. Doesn't sound particularly pretty, but wow. These twisted, long, almost sprout-like stems with these incredibly vibrant, super solid blooms on the end. I was really impressed. I have no idea where they came from, but it was wonderful to see this kind of reaching out on this day. And then the violin played again. Another very operatic and semi-Italian piece. We'd already had a Ave Maria. and we went to the pub, a local pub that opened specially for us, put on a great spread of food, had way more real ales than it did lagers. In fact, I only think it had one lager. Everything else was real ale. And it used to be somebody's front room, this pub, and they'd converted it into a pub, which I thought was fantastic in itself. And we all gathered in the warm, toasty, together, laughing, joking, remembering, and being very thankful, coincidentally, on Thanksgiving, whatever that means, for a wonderful life that touched every single one of us, and I think we'll continue to do so. I was very much, as others around me, shaped by my grandmother in many ways, and I'll always thank her for that.